And we are live. Good morning. I'm Casey Miller. I'm filling in today for Kira Morgan. She'll be back same time, same place next week. I work for Lincoln County. I'm the public information officer. And typically, I have a program on Thursday mornings at 9. And in fact, I will be back on Thursday to do Lincoln County Connections. Today, it's a great opportunity for me to fill in for Kira Morgan. And I have two great guests today on Hotline. And that's Katie Townsend and Marissa Dean. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
Well, pleasure to have you here and get a chance to talk about homeless education and literacy project, the HELP program, through the Lincoln County School District, correct?
Correct. You
All
got
right.
it.
What is the HELP program?
HELP is Homeless Education and Literacy Project, and what we have is four HELP centers located mm-hmm. throughout the county that serve students who are in unstable housing. And we get the definition of unstable housing through the McKinney-Vento Federal Act, which mm-hmm. guarantees homeless students equal access to their education. So it's a broader definition of homelessness. It's any child who's lacking a fixed, regular, or adequate nighttime residence. And so we serve them to make sure that they can get to school despite their home life or lack of a home life being stable. We want to make sure that school is stable for them and that they get the resources they need to get their education. So we work with kids that are pre-K all the way up to 12th grade.
HELP centers, not just in Oregon, but would this be across the United States? Does the McKinney-Vento Act make this a national program?
Yeah, exactly. So they may not call their program HELP program that's specific to Lincoln County.
I see.
So across the nation, every school district is required to have a homeless liaison or homeless coordinator whose responsibility is to carry out the McKinney-Vento Act, to identify homeless students and get them connected with supports and resources so they can stay in school. In Lincoln County, we have a larger program, and we've named it the HELP program, because we have such a high percentage of homeless students. We have a really high rate compared to other school districts in the state. So we've been able to really branch out and cover a county that's the size of Rhode Island and make sure that we're supporting all the students that we identify.
Yeah. Katie Townsend, you would be the coordinator of the program. Right?
Correct. Yep.
Right? And Marissa, where do you fit in?
So I'm the South County Homeless Advocate.
Mm-hmm.
So I work one-on-one with the students and families in the South County area. So.
Katie, how long now have you been the coordinator, and were you the first?
I took over the vision of the wonderful Centila McKinley. She had the idea of the HELP program.
Really?
She used to do homeless services for the entire county all by herself.
Wow.
She was the original person who was out there in the trenches identifying and finding families in trailer parks and campgrounds and motels, mm-hmm. reading to students and families, getting them connected with the schools. So she had the vision for the HELP program. And actually, through a teaming up of the county and the school district, they said, we need to get an advocate in each of the major areas of the mm-hmm. county and a coordinator to oversee all of these HELP centers. So that was in 2010 when I was hired.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hired an advocate for each area. And then in 2011, we got an AmeriCorps member for each area who did more of like the volunteer coordination and community outreach, because we were seeing there was such support for these students, but we needed to be able to kind of organize that support with volunteer coordination and organizing the donations that were coming mm-hmm. in. So each HELP center now has a homeless advocate that does direct services to families. And then we have they're no longer AmeriCorps members. They're part-time staff that are community outreach specialists. So they work with the community, process our volunteers, and provide a lot of great support to our HELP centers.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, let's take a quick break. Talking about Homeless Education and Literacy Project, HELP, and we are with Marissa Dean, Katie Townsend. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back on Hotline. And we are back on Hotline. I'm Casey Miller filling in for Kira Morgan. We have Marissa Dean with us today, Katie Townsend, and we are talking about HELP, Homeless Education and Literacy Project. So you two gave us an overview of what the HELP centers are, basically what you guys do. But I did want to talk about your personal histories and what makes you passionate about the work that you do. And, you know, in us talking here off mic, I can see that you have a history being passionate about this kind of work. So, Katie, let's start with you, because you just informed me that you go back to Medford And when did working with homeless youth or homeless populations in general start for you?
Well, it's kind of interesting because I went to school for international studies and saw myself helping internationally. And and then when I came out of college, I was an AmeriCorps member and started working in schools with migrant education and just started to see different things, different ways that we could, you know, help people here locally. And so that was down in the Medford area. After my year of service with AmeriCorps, I got a job at a domestic violence shelter, and I was a bilingual advocate, and just saw a lot of devastation that was going on in the lives of women and children. That work led me into working at a homeless youth shelter in Medford that was just opening. I was a case manager and a shelter manager for Hearts with a Mission in Medford, and worked daily with just teens who couldn't be home for one reason or another, whether they got kicked out or they needed to run away and escape situations that they were in. It really gripped at my heart. And I loved that work, working with those teens, helping to give them hope, showing them different pathways that they can take, and helping to stabilize their lives. I saw a lot of lives changed while I was there. So when I had the opportunity to move back to my hometown in 2010, there was an opening for a homeless coordinator here in Lincoln County with the school district. My husband and I jumped at the chance to be able to move back and do this kind of work here locally. And it's been really eye-opening because I grew up in this community and I had no idea back then that there was something like a homeless coordinator when I was going to school at Newport High School. And I had no idea that I probably had many peers.
And was there?
It was 2002 when the McKinney-Vento Act was reauthorized. That was actually the year I graduated. That's when they first were required to start having someone who was doing some outreach and identification of homeless students. But, you know, I never really thought about or knew how many students that were my peers that were homeless. And looking back, I could think of a few that would fit that definition of the McKinney-Vento Act. And now to see it as widespread as it is, you know, I'm seeing my community really through different eyes. There's just a lot of kids that are out there that have very vulnerable living situations. And each day it's kind of scary for them and what they're going through, knowing whether or not they're going to have a roof over their head that night or enough food to fill their belly so that they can learn. So I love what I do. I love that I get to be back here in the community that I love and help students and also bridge the supports of the community. We have such a generous community, and bridging them with the needs of the students through the help centers has been incredibly rewarding. We have never gone without. We always have the community stepping up to donate the things that we need to help these students have what they need to go to school.
Excellent. Marissa, what about you? Where did it all begin?
Yeah, you know, so personally for me, there was a seed planted ever since I was young. In my family, I would always, see different homeless families or homeless adults staying on my personal family farm. My parents would always allow youth to stay over. And so that was just a seed that was planted that I always grew up with. And then when I went to high school, Walport High, and my sophomore year, I remember seeing kids and they didn't have lunch. I'd always come to school and bring my fancy little lunch that my mom made or that I made previously before. And I'd see these kids and they didn't eat lunch. And so once a week, I made a point to either bring a big platter of chicken or I made pasta the night before or pizza rolls. And so there was a whole lunch table full of about 20 kids and we'd all share lunch together. And it was because I saw that there were kids that didn't have lunch or they didn't have food.
I mean, back in your farm, you know, that was part of, say, your family's philosophy to see others in need, basically, and help.
Yeah. Yeah. We made a point to help those that we noticed needed help. So, and then I worked at Seashore Family Literacy Center with Centilla McKinley, and I was the coordinator for their Joy program there. And then I was encouraged to apply for the homeless advocate or the South County position, which Centillo was the advocate then. And so she encouraged me, Katie encouraged me, and I got that position. And I just am inspired every day because I see these kids, they struggle, yeah. And they continuously come to school and they try to be successful. That's just so inspiring to me. And if the little I can do for them allows them to graduate or gives them the things that they need to stay successful at home and in school, it's amazing. And that's what I feel my purpose is. And they give awesome. Me passion. So
you guys rock. You guys are inspiring. Well, let's take a quick break and both homegrown too. Wow. Staying in the community and making a difference. So awesome. But let's take a break, you two. This is Marissa Dean, Katie Townsend, and let's start peeling back the onion a little bit here on the Help Centers and learn more about it. So we'll take a quick break and be back on Hotline. We are back on Hotline. I am Casey Miller filling in for Kira Morgan. We have Katie Townsend and Marissa Dean today. They are with our Help Centers through the Lincoln County School District Homeless Education and Literacy Project. You know, Katie, I think we should get the data out of the way because, many folks know just how much homelessness is in this community, but why don't you put it in perspective? What kind of data is out there?
Sure. So like I had shared earlier, the McKinney-Vento Act requires that we identify students with unstable housing. We're actually kind of trying to get away from the term homeless because it's such a it's a wide category. It's also a loaded term. It's a stigmatized term. Okay. So we're looking at the unstable nature of the student situation. And so McKinney-Vento Act defines that in several different categories, ranging from hotel-motel due to economic hardship, mm-hmm. sharing housing temporarily due to economic hardship is the second category, staying in a shelter such as Family Promise, My Sister's Place, Samaritan House, those would all be qualifying shelters. And then we have the unsheltered living situation. So that's okay. Tent camping, RVs that are run down or with no utilities, staying in buildings with no utilities. So looking at that, we had this last school year, so we start counting at the beginning of registration, students and families self-identify, and then we follow up with a confirmation phone call to offer resources and find out what's going on. Mm-hmm. And we also get referrals and drop-ins to the help centers. But throughout the whole school year last year, we reached the highest in Lincoln County's history. Birth through 12th grade, we identified 970 kids that were in one of those unstable housing situations.
Okay.
For the K-12 system, that was over 14% of our student population had unstable housing.
Okay.
And qualified for McKinney-Vento services. What's interesting is the very first year that I was here, back in 2009-2010, we identified 411 students. So part of the thing is we're getting more efficient at identifying and reaching okay. out to students and families, and community agencies are doing a lot more referrals. But the number is also growing. We're seeing a rise in the number of yes. families that can't find affordable housing, can't find a safe, stable place to stay with their families. So in order to qualify, they may just be homeless for one night during the school year, or they might be lacking housing for the entirety of the school year or for multiple school years. And then when Oregon Department of Education just released their data a few months back, and Lincoln County had the seventh highest number of homeless students in the district. Some of the other ones were Portland, Beaverton, Medford. So really large, numerous, school districts with very large student populations. And we had one of the largest. And then percentage-wise or per capita, we had the eighth number. So we had 14.17% of our student population was homeless.
Okay. We've got the numbers, and obviously we all agree we want to reduce these numbers. But I do have a question for you about your funding, because volunteer donations could be a piece for the community to get involved.
Sure.
However, from a federal perspective, do these numbers change the amount of resources you receive, or where does the funding come from?
Maybe sure. So The school district, every school district is required to set aside some of their Title I-A funds for the homeless program that is required through the McKinney-Vento Act. So generally what school districts do is they look at the number of homeless students they have and they portion out a certain amount of their Title I funds in order to adequately serve those homeless students. And so the staffing, my position, Marissa's position, that is coming out of homeless set-aside funds from the federal government. Anytime we receive a donation from a community member, we're able to funnel those funds directly to meeting the needs of the students and families. And so buying things like shoes for a student or some school supplies and really filling gaps in what we're not able to find in the community. So 100% of those donations are going directly to the students.
So let me ask you, when we look at the big picture, how much does the community donation piece backfill your needs?
Oh, it's huge. It gives us a lot of flexibility. I mean, sometimes you can't find that size extra large coat for student A who needs a nice warm coat. We just don't have it in stock. It hadn't been donated. And so that community donation allows us to go to a local store and pick up a coat that's going to fit that student. So it's what, I mean, it's what we rely upon to meet a lot of those students' needs.
Okay. And another quick question for you on kind of the funding piece. Some of the research I was doing yesterday talked about the difficulty of this definition of homeless on a federal level, and that maybe that needs to be tweaked more to consider what is historically been a more chronic type definition. Am I?
Yeah, so there's different, even different federal agencies have different definitions of homelessness. And so HUD has a little bit different definition.
Maybe it was HUD that needs to be kind of revised a little.
Right. Actually, a lot of people are appreciative of the wider definition through the McKinney-Vento Act because we're able to serve students and really get at the heart of bringing school stability for students because it is a little bit broader. It is a little bit wider than HUD, which wouldn't qualify people who were doubled up as homeless. And so there has been some pushes at different levels to broaden HUD's definition of homelessness so that people who are staying on someone's couch might qualify for HUD housing funds because they haven't been able to get their housing on their own.
It really makes complete sense. And I appreciate that because I think when we think about, you know, giving locally, all these important things that we can do support you guys, but we also need to think maybe systemically too, and where can we look at this at higher levels to broaden the definition and get more support out there. So let's take a break and we'll come back and keep talking to Marissa Dean and Katie Townsend, and you are listening to Hotline. And we are back. I'm Casey Miller filling in for Kira Morgan, and we have Marissa Dean and Katie Townsend with us today talking about help. And Marissa, maybe tell us a story, and you just go ahead and start wherever you want.
Yeah, all right. So last year I was, I had a young female junior. She was on my caseload, and throughout the year of her junior grade, she had moved four times. Her house had burnt down, couch surfing. Home life was very unstable. There was a lot within the home, you know, with her mom and just everybody involved in her family. There's just a lot of drama going on. And so she would come to school. And this student, like, she always made the best of any situation she was going through. Amazing character. She, you know, had worked hard on her grades, but it's just that weight right there of the instability in her home life. It really put, you know, like, it was like she was carrying baggage with her when she came to school. And so it was hard for her to focus. And she always came into my help center, and that was just her time she could cry and that she wanted to talk to someone. And again, like I said, she was always very strong, but just not being able to know where she was going to go home was just a heavy weight that she had to deal with. And so entering into her senior year, she was unaccompanied youth. And she was couch surfing. And so we ended up finding her a place to live, but it was actually in a treehouse. And throughout the beginning of her senior year this year, she had a lot of her clothes stolen, her possessions stolen, just because she had to place at a different, she had to place her items at her friend's house. And so, you know, it was just really rough, you know, and I remember her crying in my room and she was like, I am just so tired of this. I just want a home I can stay at, you know, I'm tired of moving. And so she really stressed that. And so we were brainstorming together and we ended up finding a family who was able to take her in. She knew this family and she was able to have home cooked meals. She's actually a three sport athlete. And so that was a huge thing she stressed as well. She didn't have enough food in her home. So we were able to get her food stamps so she could buy her own food. We moved her out of this tree house. She was able to put all her items in this room. One of the young boys in that family ended up giving up his own room for her. And she we actually found an anonymous donor and he bought a $1,900 car for her because she's a senior. And since she travels, you know, for sports and she needed a way she could transport herself. And it was really amazing because I just saw her this last weekend at a home wrestling meet. And I saw her walk in the gym and I just saw this happiness on her face. And it's not that she wasn't happy before, but it was because she has a stable home life that made a huge impact on her. You know, for her to focus, she was always coming in late, you know, because she couldn't get everything ready, you know, and so she's 5 minutes away from school. She's always on time now. She's just, you could see a settledness in her. And it's because of the help of the advocate, we were able to brainstorm together. We got her resources that she needed. And this is going, I mean, not that she wasn't going to graduate, but she can graduate well, you know, she's having a great school experience. And so that was just a story that I can share on how the advocate, you know, help. That's why the advocate is needed in our schools. It's because we can help students push through the barriers that they always face.
So, yeah, give us an example of what happens at the Help Center. Now, you're an advocate. You helped in a lot of ways, but this is typical for the services you provide. You know, finding resources, but also the Help Center is actually a place where a student can go. Can you clarify?
Yeah, so we have four Help Centers, and each Help Center is located in a school building. So in Lincoln City, it's at Taft Elementary, Toledo that serves Eddyville, and Siletz is at Toledo Junior Senior, Newport is at Newport Middle School, and then we have Dan and Walport at Crestview Heights. And so each Help Center, we are required to do the McKinney-Vento Act rights for students. So that includes immediate enrollment. So if a student shows up at school that is in a homeless living situation, if they don't have any proof of residency or their proper immunizations, we work with them to get those things, but they get to be enrolled right away. We help navigate any school fees or cover school fees or waive school fees or sports fees. We also help with transportation. So let's say a homeless student, like Marissa said, has moved four times, but they move outside of Walport to Newport. We will help facilitate transportation to keep them in their school of origin for the duration of the school year so that there's not that educational disruptment or so they don't have to start all over again.
Nice.
And that's if they select that. Some students select to just start going to the school where they now currently reside because they feel like that's in their best interest. So we just try to weigh those different things. Then we also just provide general support to the students. We get them connected with a lot of different community resources. So in Marissa's example, you know, she helped the student navigate different housing situations, transportation personally. And then at the Help Centers, we also have school supplies. We have hygiene supplies. A lot of these things are donated from the community or from drives that are done by different groups. School clothes, shoes. Sometimes, you know, we'll give them a shoe gift card so they can go and pick out a pair of shoes. And then we have programs on top of that. So we have a program that's called Learning is Fun Together. It's for our littlest learners. And it looks a little different in each area of the county, really, to meet the needs of the students there. But we were basically seeing that we had too many homeless preschool students that weren't getting into preschools or were on waiting lists. And we wanted to make sure they were kindergarten ready. So now we have a program that where we do outreach to try to get our unstably housed students into this program, but it's open to any student as room allows. And then they come and work on kindergarten readiness 2 days a week and do fun activities. And so that's our LIFT program. And then we also have tutoring. We can set up tutoring one-on-one. A lot of our students fall behind every time they move or change schools. So we can set them up with one-on-one tutoring or group tutoring with a licensed professional tutor or volunteer. And then we have a program called JOY, Job Opportunities for Youth. We had a lot of high school students that they wanted jobs. I mean, flat out, they wanted to earn their own money and be able to pay for their own things, and they were really struggling to do that. And so we have a job program that also is heavy on the academics. We work with them to make sure that they're passing their classes, attending school, but we do a lot of life skills and job skills training and give them actual jobs through the school district. Mm-hmm. And so they maybe tutor younger students at the 21st Century After School program, or they work at the local food pantry, and then they turn in timesheets to the school district, and then they get paid, and then they're able to pay for their own things and feel that sense of empowerment. So that is one of, I love that program. We've seen a lot of kids' lives change from that.
Well, you know, there's a lot of ways that you meet the needs. And before we take our break, you guys, can you give a shout out to your other advocates and who they are?
Sure. Yeah. So we have Christina Sexton, who's in Newport. Mm-hmm. In Lincoln City, we have Alexis Steenkolk. And then out in Toledo, we have Debbie Haverland. And then we also have community outreach specialists. So in Toledo, we have Haley Rose. In Lincoln City, we have Cheyenne Weaver. In Newport, we have Ashley Anderson. And in Wellport, we have Dee Dean.
Wow. Pretty cool team, huh? Mm-hmm.
Love them. They're awesome.
Okay. Well, we're talking to Marissa Dean and Katie Townsend. We'll come back, talk more about help. You're with us on Hotline. Back in just a moment.
Log on to OregonCoastDailyNews.com, your daily news and information source about the coast, giving you the whole story, along with audio and video. You don't have to buy a subscription to read our news stories online. You can also follow OregonCoastDailyNews.com on Facebook and on Twitter at OC Daily News. Log on to get the latest breaking news, along with information on traffic, weather, upcoming events, and the daily Yaquina Bay Bar Report. On the Internet, make your local news source OregonCoastDailyNews.com.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Welcome back to Hotline on News Talk 1310 KNPT, AM 1400 KBCH, and AM 820 KWDP.
Okay, we're back on Hotline. I'm Casey Miller filling in for Kira Morgan and Marissa Dean, Katie Townsend with us, talking about help centers. And so, you know, what can people do? You've given us an idea of your program's very dynamic, you know, meeting all these needs. And I noticed that your webpage shows all of the advocates at every center in the county, right?
You got
So, I mean, is there really at every school, is there a physical room?
Not at every school, but in every area of the county, every major area. So in North County, there's one help center. In South County, one help center. In Newport, one help center. In East County, one help center. So, and they serve the surrounding schools in that area.
Gotcha. So you could maybe email an advocate in your kind of geographical area. There's also a donate button. So what's the rhyme or reason here, you think, if someone wants to volunteer or donate? What do you recommend?
Sure. So we love our volunteers and our donors. Couldn't do this work without them in the community. So what I would recommend is contacting your local help center, because each help center has different volunteer opportunities, different volunteer needs at that time, or different things that they're low on. So on the school district's website there, if you go under departments and programs, it says homeless program and help. And it describes our program, who we are, what we do, number of kids that we serve. And then it has links for email and phone number for each advocate in each area. And, or if people would like to just reach out to me, I can always get them connected with the help center in their local area. And my email address is on there, and my office line is 265-4506.
Yeah.
So it just changes throughout the year what we need based off of what's already been donated or what volunteer positions are already filled. But there's always a way we can get people plugged in this work.
Yeah, yeah. And so I imagine you can kind of, you know, find a way to fit somebody's specialty in. Mm-hmm. There's different ways people could volunteer, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So some of the ways that people currently are volunteering, like in East County, we have a backpack program. So people stuff backpacks or deliver the backpacks to the Head Start or to one of the charter schools or the other schools. People who organize donations, so clothing, sorting through those things and making sure it's organized at that site. We have people who tutor students at either an after-school program or one-on-one during one of their class periods. We have the Joy after-school program for working with kids on career and life skills. And so sometimes it's just a community professional that's coming in and talking about how they got the job and the career that they have now and the steps that they took to inspire the students who might be interested in that field as well. We have fundraisers and episodic events. So someone who might want to just come in a few years can do that, or someone who wants a more regular commitment can do that as well.
Now, like when I've volunteered at the school, like the background check process and stuff, does that apply as well to volunteers for help?
It does, yeah. So we follow the school district's protocol for screening volunteers. So it just requires criminal history, background check, and then there's a 20-minute online safe schools training so people can learn about just some basics of volunteering.
Yeah, yeah, and not very hard to do, but if you've already done that, then you probably wouldn't have to do it again.
Right, it's good for 2 years.
Gotcha. Now, if somebody is listening to us now who, you know a kid that needs help, would they generally go through the same process of having those phone numbers, calling somebody? How would you direct a family or an individual to the help centers as well?
Yeah, calling the help center is generally best because sometimes our advocates are out in the field or at different schools or doing home visits. Mm-hmm. So calling to schedule an appointment to come in to find out about all the different services we offer, to meet the advocate and get that kind of personal relationship, is what we would recommend to get that started.
Okay. And we'll take a break in just a second, but is there a challenge sometimes with students coming forward to talk about that they have challenges or asking for help? Does that happen occasionally?
Yeah, no, it happens very frequently. You know, when you'll have a staff member refer a kid, or you'll have a family randomly call and refer a kid, and you'll go to the kid, oh no, I'm perfectly fine. You know, and it's embarrassment. You know, they have their own reasons, but you know, later in the year, they'll come up to you. It's just, you have to be persistent with them and show that you care and you want to help them. You know, I had a kid just recently come to me, and I've been knocking on his door for about a year and a half, and he finally was like, I want tutoring help. I want to see a counselor. Yeah. And so they just need to know you're always going to be there for them.
Gotcha. Okay.
And all of our services are confidential. So, voluntary. So we can let them know about the resources, but they don't have to take us up on those.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll take our last break and come back with Marissa and Katie on Hotline. Okay, we're back on Hotline. I'm Casey Miller filling in for Kira Morgan. She will be back. Katie Townsend, Marissa Dean, we're talking about Homeless Education and Literacy Project, or HELP. You know, we've really kind of in an hour here kind of scratched the surface, but I think we've given the listeners today a good overview. But let's talk about a few more things here in closing. You gave us the data. We know that there's roughly 900 homeless students, right, in Lincoln County. But talk about this accompaniment concept. What does that mean?
So another group of students that we identify are those that are unaccompanied homeless students. So those are students living in an unstable housing situation alone without the supervision of a parent or official guardian. So last school year, we identified almost 100 students that were in that situation. Typically, these are our high school students that are either couch surfing or staying in tents. But for one reason or another, they're not with a parent or guardian. So this can be one of our most vulnerable populations because they're doing this whole homeless thing on their own. Wow. And they're not always staying in the safest of places, but they're just trying to get through and navigate the daily life, and hopefully come out on the other end okay.
Yeah.
So
So, I mean, as opposed to, say, having a family that may be staying at different households, we're talking about then a child that has no parental support at all, right?
Yeah. Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the things that we've done is we partnered up with a program called Second Home. And Second Home was a program that started at Beaverton High School. And what they did was identify home providers that would allow students to stay in these homes while they finish their education. So last year we started this program in Lincoln County. So we have Second Home of Lincoln County. And Heather Johnson is the coordinator for that program locally. And we're in the process of trying to identify people in the community, in each of the communities in Lincoln County, who would open up their home to a student. There's a screening process, but essentially providing a place for one of these students to stay while they finish up their high school education. So it could be a 1 year or 2 year commitment. And they work on kind of drafting up a contract that they both agree upon with Lincoln County Dispute Resolution. So if anyone feels their heart tugged in that direction, we do need more home providers in our county. Cause, you know, for instance, if we found had an unaccompanied homeless student in Walport who would like to participate in this program, ideally we'd find a home in the Walport area so that that student can stay in their own community.
Gotcha. So not really a program per se of the help centers, but a partner program that you guys know is doing good work.
Great work and needed work, because we don't have any homeless youth shelters in Lincoln County that serve this unaccompanied population. All of the shelters require you go in with a parent or a guardian. So they're really meeting a critical need in our community.
Yeah. And Marissa, what I wanted to ask you as we're winding down here, could you just briefly tell us again, you know, how hard it is for these kids when they don't have these basic needs?
Oh, it's really hard. You think about when you were in high school and how you had your parents there for you. You know, they bought your car, they covered food expenses, sports expenses. And so that's a worry these kids have to deal with. You know, you expect a kid to come to school, they're hungry, you know, school lunch is not always the best, or, you know, breakfast. And, they're on their own, especially these unaccompanied youth. And, you know, I read a letter this morning that a student, wrote to me, and it was a little thank you letter, and I just gave her a pair of shoes, but she took her time out to write how those pair of shoes really impacted her. And it really touched my heart. And that's why, you know, it doesn't matter if you have money, your time, you donate, you know, your old clothes, shoes, it really impacts these kids, and it will help create a better school environment for them.
Yeah. And you guys, the work you do, you know, whether it's high school or some of the younger kids, really kind of a dynamic range of need at any level of development. And that's got to be hard but rewarding too. Any other thoughts as we have just a couple minutes left about what you'd like the public to know?
One of the things that we've just been really talking about is, you know, we throw out numbers and data and statistics, and each one of those kids, they have a story, you know. Yeah. So each, you know, 970 kids that we identified last year with unstable housing, homelessness looks very different for each one of those students. Yeah. Unstable housing looks very different. Their needs are different. What they're going through is different. And it's hard. Life can be really hard. And then when you don't have a stable home life on top of that, it's especially hard. And so, you know, working with these kids, supporting them, taking away some of the myths around what homelessness is in our community, that's so critical to build this awareness so that people know we're here to help these kids get their education and bring us some stability in their life. And a lot of people in our community get that, and they rally around and they support a lot of these programs that are serving kids in these situations. And we couldn't do it without that support of the community. Yeah. I can't stress enough how blown away I am day after day of the generosity of our community, that people are giving of their time and volunteering and wanting to make a difference in these kids' lives. And sometimes it can just be that simple thing of getting them a pair of shoes they need. Or we had someone who donated a bike recently, and the student was just overjoyed that he could get around town quicker on a bike instead of walking. So,
okay. Well, where do we learn more about Homeless Education and Literacy Project?
We do have a web page on the school district website. You go to Programs and Departments, and it's under Homeless Program.
All right. Thank you, Marissa, Katie, great work, and appreciate you being here today on Hotline.
Thank you, Casey.
All right. Keep up the good work. And thanks for listening to us today. Kira Morgan will be back. And
from the Bob Spangler
Studios.